Amen. Good morning, everyone. How about we pray a little bit this morning? Pray for our morning and pray for this message and pray for God to open hearts this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I pray that as we are continuing in this series of stewardship, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you, God. I pray right now that you would speak to us through this message, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to us in whichever way that you are seeking this morning, Lord. And it's a cold morning, and Lord, we know that there's those who can't be here today, those who are sick, those who are not feeling well, and we pray for them right now, Lord. We lift them up. We pray that you would give them just peace and comfort in what they're going through, Lord, and just allow them to feel your presence today. In your name we pray, amen. So, I don't know why I looked at this, but it's just funny. I normally give you a little insight into me. I write my stuff like as I'm speaking it, or I do bullet points. No middle ground. So depending on how I'm feeling during the week, I write out my sermon word for word as if I'm speaking it. Whether I follow it or not, that's a different story. But I noticed I wrote a warm welcome to each of you today, probably based on last week, but today is super chilly, overcast, and cold. So we're off to a great start on my sermon. Hope everyone's doing well. But this week, we're going to be continuing to dive deeper into this series, this little mini-series we're in stewardship. You know, over the past weeks, we've experienced and talked about how God has called us to steward our resources, our time, our efforts, our finances. And today, we're going to talk about the stewardship of our talents and abilities, what God has gifted us in. And we're going to look today how God has uniquely equipped each of us with gifts and talents to use for his glory, to serve others, and to show God in our lives to others around us. So, you might recall from previous sermons that our talents are divine tools meant for God's purpose, to serve others, specifically to magnify God's glory. And if we read in Luke 16, we hear about the parable of the shrewd manager. And we're not going to read the whole thing today, but if you want to follow up, make it part of your devotion time this week. It's a great section of the Bible. But in Luke 16, it's this parable of the shrewd manager. And Jesus is telling a story about a manager who's using clever tactics of his gifting to secure his future for his own benefit. So he kind of goes on this thing of, I don't know how I'm going to give my master what he wants, so I'm going to go and share with the others who owe him and pretty much finagle the books. You owe this much, I want you to write this amount. And then he goes to the next person. You owe this much, I want you to write this amount. Okay? So he's doing it in a way to glorify himself, but at the sake of not glorifying his master. And that's this story. But Jesus tells us in verse 10, he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So today, as we talk about stewardship of our abilities God has graciously given us, we want and how it reflects our trust in him and how we use those gifts for our benefit or to glorify God. And this also speaks into, are we doing this for selfish gain or are we doing it for his glory? Which also shapes our walk in faith. Because when we are faithful, when we can be trusted with the little things, our faith grows. It's like, have you ever gone, maybe, I'm going to just put gym as the example, but in anything that you do in life, you know, if you go to the gym, the first day you can only lift so much. But as you build upon that, as you grow in that, you build confidence, right? And you build the confidence needed to go in there and say, I'm going to put extra weight on today, and I'm going to go for that. And we have that in our life when we are riding a bike, when you're learning a new task, when you're learning a new job. The first time is always, whew, this is a little confusing. It may be a little overwhelming. It may be a little overbearing. But the second day is a little easier. We know where we're going. We know where the bathrooms are. We know where the lunchroom is. Third day, you're like, okay, this is happening. I know what's going on. I know how to get from point A to point B. And you build confidence. But you start with the little things. You start with showing up. You start with making sure that all your papers are aligned, making sure that your backpack or your backpack or whatever those little satchel things that you carry around. I still carry around a backpack, so. But you make sure everything's in there that's needed for the first day, and then you build upon it. So as we talk about this today, we're going to talk about the little things that we're gifted in and how that grows and compounds into more. But first, before we even go into our gifts and talents, we need to first recognize our gifting and our talents, correct? We need to recognize our talents and abilities for God. So this first step in stewardship is recognizing that our talents and gifts and abilities are a gift from God. And many of us fall into this trap sometimes of underestimating our abilities or underestimating the unique ability that God has given us with what we possess in our life. And then that continues to lead on to maybe we're going to start comparing ourselves to others and say, well, why am I not like them? Why am I not able to do what they're doing? Why is this happening to me? So why are we not good enough? Our gifting is not meant for our purpose that we want in our life. You see how that goes? We feel like we're not mattering. We're not having the ability that we want for what we want to do. But have we ever asked, have we ever sat down, especially, obviously, if you're a Christian, have you ever sat down and said, Lord, your will be done in my life. What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to use the gifting you have given me to glorify you? The difference in that. But we recognize first that our gifts are from God. And we also have gifts and talents that God has given us to glorify Him in our lives. And if we see these gifts as an opportunity to glorify God, then we can glorify Him through what He's given us. We can use those talents to say, how can I build upon this? How can I use this to show God in the lives of others? How can I use what God has given me to glorify Him? When people look at me, they look at Christ. When people look at me, they see, oh, it's not Ian who's doing this. It's not Ian that has this. It's God giving Ian the ability to do this, and I'm seeing God work through me, through the gifting He's given me. But we need to recognize it. And maybe you're gifted in teaching. Maybe you're gifted in serving. Maybe you're gifted in encouragement. Maybe you're gifted in service. Maybe you have a knack for something in your job, and you can utilize your gifting for it. So we first recognize our gift and abilities and then use them to glorify God. But the question is, what area are you gifted in? And sometimes, bringing up another point, sometimes we confuse ourselves and I'm like, I don't know. But somebody can look at you and say, you seem to be gifted in this area. And we can hear that. For years and years and years, I was told by people that you know, hey, you really have a gift of discernment. And for years and years, I was like, oh, okay, we'll see. You know, like, I get what you're saying. I don't really see it. But once I really started thinking about it, believing it, and asking God to use that in me, it's really enhanced it. It's really enhanced those abilities. And if you have your gifting and you say, God, use it for your will, he will. But it starts with you trusting the little bit that he's giving you because he wants to use you in that. But we all have different gifts that can be used to glorify God. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. And in here, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that our diversity in talents and purpose come from the same Spirit, from the same source. And we're urged to recognize this because through that, through the use of our gifts and appreciation of what they're worth and how they can be used to glorify him, when we work together as the body of Christ, your gifting with their gifting, with someone else's gifting, all used for the same purpose, to glorify God, that's when you create movement. Okay? So we need to know that it's the same God at work through areas of encouragement, through your acts of service, through someone else in their gift of teaching, that it's the same God. The same God at work in your compassion or in your giving. It all should point to God as the source in the first place. So our talents, even though they're different, even though we have different abilities, even though we can walk out and say, I'm gifted in this area, I can do this, not all should become teachers. Right? But what is your gift? What has God given you? What has God given you the ability to do? A singer, a teacher, an artist, a caregiver, all contribute to the edification of the church and to the world through Christianity, through Christians acting in the body of Christ. And by acknowledging this diversity, by just simply acknowledging that my gift is not necessarily your gift, my ability is not necessarily your ability, but I love my ability and I love what God is using me for. By having that ability to understand that there's diversity in the body of Christ allows us to also realize that we don't have to be envious and feel that we are not enough. And it fosters unity. That happens when we help each other out. And if we are envious of another gift or another ability and we focus on that, we are actually limiting what God can do through us in our gifting. So one of the things that the devil would love more than anything to do is to confuse you and say, look at what you can't do. You can't be up there. You're not good enough to do that over here. You're not gifted in that area. And it's used as a way to be like, man, I'm not. This stinks. Why am I not being used in that way? But it's confusion. It's taking you off course from what God has given you, because when you realize that God has gifted you in your ability for his purpose through you, you don't need to know or need to feel that you need to be somebody else or do something else. And then you can center and say, Lord, use me in this place. Use me in this way that you have. So don't limit your ability of what God can do in your life by being envious of someone else or something else. So imagine a band, okay? But imagine just a band, like Aerosmith, G Jesus culture. Let's go back on track. All right. Imagine one of them, and let's say the singer goes, you know what? I don't think singing's it. I think the drummer's the coolest. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to sit down on the drums, and he just starts wailing away. He has no understanding of how to play the things. He's a singer. He's going to go over there and start banging on the drums. And the drummer goes, well, he's doing my job, so I think singing's pretty cool. You're front and center. You get to be the one up front. You get to walk around. You're not stuck in your little box. You're not stuck with these sticks, and you're able to freely move and maybe jazzercise a little bit. Do what you want. But guess what? The drummer can't sing. And so the drummer's over there like, and the drummer, who's not a drummer, who was the singer, can't carry a beat. And then you have the poor guitarist and bass player. Maybe they're like, you know what, we're staying here, but guess what? We can't follow along because you guys are messing everything up. There's no tempo. There's no symmetry. There's nothing. So they are doing something else that what they are gifted in. But once they come together and put themselves and align themselves in the right area of their talents and gifting, then it sounds amazing. Another example, just to kind of broaden the horizons, building a house requires an electrician, plumbers, supervisors, all these different parts, right? But let's say the plumber comes in and says, I'm not plumbing today. I'm going to go mess with electrical stuff. And the electrician comes in and says, all right, I'm going to go do plumber's work. Doesn't know how to connect the toilet. And then poor plumber's over there on the floor because he got shocked because he's not an electrician, didn't know that he had to disconnect the main power. And so he's on the floor. Plumber doesn't know what to do. And he's like, well, he probably needs to go to the bathroom, but there's no toilet for him, so what's going on? And then the supervisor's like, I don't know what any of you are doing. Yeah, they're all fired. But rewind a little bit. Let's talk about this. The plumber comes in and does his job because he knows what he's gifted at. He knows what he's able to do. The electrician comes in and starts doing his job. He doesn't worry about what the plumber's doing. He does his work. And then we have this woodworker who comes along and maybe he realizes, well, I'm a pretty good framer. I'll frame up the house so the electrician can do his job because the electrician has no walls to run the wiring through if the framer doesn't do his job. The plumber has nowhere to put the piping if the framer doesn't do his job, so they start doing their job. But when they use their gifts, when they use their gifting within their talents and abilities, a beautiful product is made. So if it isn't built to its potential, it's not necessarily because there isn't gifting and talent in it. But it could be because the gifting and talent is used in the wrong place. And when you align everything the correct way, when you are in your gifting and ability, when you are in your lane, when you say, I don't know how to serve people, but I can teach them. I don't know how, like, I'm not as compassionate as someone else. Don't counsel them, maybe. Lead them to someone who's compassionate and who can speak into their life. But we are all members of the same body of Christ. But we have our own unique abilities that God has given us. And when we use our abilities in the way that God has given us, we will move forward as the body of Christ. But we have to know who we are. A foot doesn't think it's a hand. Because the foot's not going to grab something. And the hand's not going to walk for you. So we first have to acknowledge and recognize our talent and ability and what God has used us for. And secondly, we need to acknowledge there's diversity in the body of Christ. We're not all the same. We're not all created equal. We're not all created to do the same thing. But God is going to give us the ability and say, with those who are trusted with little things, they're going to be trusted with more. But if you're over here doing your own thing, not using your gifting, not using your abilities, and you're wondering, why is life so hard? Why is this going on? Why is this happening in my life? What's going on? Well, have you ever thought to ask that maybe you're not putting yourself in the will of God? And let me clarify something real quick before we move on. Just because you are in the will of God, just because you're in the right lane, just because you're doing the right thing, doesn't mean that your life is going to be all hunky-dory. Paul was imprisoned, but he was able to use his gift where he was. He wasn't happy, probably. He probably had times that he was like, I don't want to be here. But God used him in that. And God used what the situation he was in to glorify him. But you have to be willing to ask God how to use you in that situation. Because it's not always going to be happy and easy situations. Sometimes it's going to be hard and difficult. But you can still use your gifting to glorify God. You can still use the situation to show others who Christ is in your life and who he can be in theirs. And we need to embrace our unique contributions. So whether we excel in leadership, creativity, administrative tasks, hospitality, stewardship, each role is vital. And recognizing its value nurtures our own self-esteem and builds us up. It affirms our role in God's plan. And allows us to live our lives in the body of Christ. We can use our gifting to serve in many areas in our lives and show God to others through it. So maybe this week, maybe you want to sit down and say, Lord, what abilities have you given me? What have other people been speaking into my life? What have you been speaking into as I've been reading and praying? But what are you gifting me in? And how do you want me to use that? How do you want me to glorify you through that? And then once we recognize, we can start using our talents for God's glory. So this next step is to apply our gifting to actively using them to glorify God rather than seeking personal gain. Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So Paul is communicating here that there is a call to excellence and wholehearted dedication to all of our endeavors. And it shows that our ultimate service is to the Lord. With whatever you're doing, serve the Lord. And when you become Christian and you see the gift that you have from God, or you realize that the gift that you've had all along can be used to glorify God, use it. And you can begin to apply this in your life to glorify Him, to show others around you Christ through your life. And remember, our dedication to using our gifts is also a reflection of worship. I know we, in modern America and times now, we hear the word worship, we think of whatever playlist we have on Spotify or we're listening to in the house while we do dishes, we think of Sunday morning worship and we think of that. But I want you to broaden your mind this week and realize that worship is your whole being. It's not just how we sing on Sunday mornings. It's not just how we listen to the radio and sing along to all those bands that we love, but it's how you live your life. Your life is an act of worship. Your gifting is an act of worship. So work and do it all with all your heart as working for the Lord. So whatever you are gifted in, use it to glorify God. Because it's an act of worship. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Your gifting and abilities become a testimony to others around you through your commitment to God and obeying His commands in your life. And how we use our gifting and how we apply it can either show those around you that it's a blessing from God, or that it may be used for your own selfish gain. Because your gifting, you're going to be gifted at. But how you use it determines how, if it's an act of worship to God or an act of worship to yourself or a false idol in your life. But when you apply it, you need to use it for the glory of God. So maybe, let's say you're a mechanic. Let's just say that you don't know what your gifting is. You don't know how to glorify God. But you say to yourself, well, I'm a good mechanic. I can fix a car without even looking at it. I can just hear it and know what's wrong. Maybe the fuel is too lean. Maybe you can hear a whistling and say, oh, you have an air leak. Maybe you can hear a whining and you're like, oh, that's the belt going bad. You know, whatever it is, maybe you're gifted as a mechanic. But how are you doing that? Let's say you have your own shop. Are you using your gift to scam people out of money because they don't know? Like saying, oh, you need all this work done. You need this, that, here, and it's going to cost this much money. But in reality, it's a one-hour job that takes about $100 to fix. But you're going to tell somebody who doesn't know any better, it's a $1,000 job. It's going to take till tomorrow to fix. So that's an example of using your gifting and your abilities and your talents in life for your own selfish gain. But maybe you're the kind of person that says, you know what? Here's what's wrong. There's nothing really wrong. It's just you had an air hose disconnected. That's what made your check engine light come on. That's what made it had this stutter like when you tried to start it. But it really was just this hose, this vacuum hose you had, and no charge. It's not even worth it. But I just want to let you know that your car's fine. There's a difference in how you act. Maybe you're a teacher and you can teach with compassion, patience, kindness, and with devotion to really guide and develop your students. And the way you act and in your gifting shows your worship and dedication to God. And if you can be trusted with the small things that you may not think are as important, more will be given to you. I read a story the other day where a teacher, knowing that they cannot share their faith in school. That's one thing that's been taken away from schools in the recent years. No saying God, can't share your faith, all these parameters. So this teacher, knowing this, has this gift of teaching. She's in a setting where she can't share her faith directly to the students. But she can teach them with love and compassion. She can show them that she's there to help them, not be a teacher that's mean or frustrated because their assignment's late. And in this story, she goes around every day, every class, before class begins, or actually not before class begins, before school begins, when she's in her room and she walks up to each desk and she knows what student sits in that desk. She prays for that student. And she prays that God would open up something in their life for them. Whether she knows, whether they're Christian or not, she doesn't know because they can't have that conversation. But she prays for them. And she uses her talents and abilities to show those students in that 1 hour period that there's someone who loves them, someone who cares for them, someone who's forgiving of what happens in their life, someone who shows that they want them to grow in their ability. And in what happens with this student is maybe that year it's Mrs. Smith. I'm just going to say Mrs. Smith, right? Mrs. Smith was that teacher. But 10 years down the road, they realize, Mrs. Smith was the identity of Christ in my life that I didn't know I needed. But now that I'm older, I realize that that was God, because God was compassionate to me. God forgave me. God wanted me to grow. So you can use your gifting and abilities to glorify God without using any words. Because we need to show others who Christ is through our life. It is so much more than just sharing Christ with others. It's so much more than just saying, Jesus loves you, have a blessed day, God bless you. Those are like icing on the cake. How do you act? How is your worship in your life? How do you show God that you love him through your actions, through your gifting and abilities? Remember Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And who is ever dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So God's love is evident when we use our gifts to serve others. Through teaching, art, writing, hospitality, whatever you are gifted in, we can expand the kingdom's reach to all those we come in contact with, by glorifying God in all that we do. So maybe this week, on top of you thinking about what you're gifted in and praying for God to open this door for you in your life, maybe we can also sit down and say, this week, how am I going to use that gift to serve others? If I'm a gifted singer and I'm singing at a bar, how am I going to use that to serve others? Might be hard to think. Honestly, if it's hard to figure out how you're going to use that in the setting that you're putting yourself in to serve others, maybe you're in the wrong setting. That's when you start to go, maybe that setting is to glorify me, not God. Maybe I need to remove myself from this setting so God can put me in the setting he wants me in. You have to be willing. Because once we pray and say, God, your will be done in my life, you have to be willing to move from yourself. You have to be willing to get out of your own way. Because if you stand over here and say, this is what I like, it's comfortable over here, the water's nice, the grass is greener, God, your will be done. And he says, move right. I don't like it over there. How about you use me here? Well, God says, I can't use you efficiently there. I need you over here. I don't really like it over there. And we fight our whole life. We fight through this, and we fight through all these situations saying, I don't want to do that. But guess what? God, I love you. I love you so much. And then we pray those prayers, and we're like, Lord, use me for your glory. I pray that you would put me into a situation today to run into the person you want me to pray with them, that they would become a Christian. And God's like, that's great, but you never moved right. You never got into the lane that I asked you to get in. How can I put you in the situation I'm asking you to be in if you aren't willing to live the life and live into the situation I asked you to be in the first place, just because your comfort was changed. You need to be willing to move for God to use you. But we need to trust God. And once we trust God, once we ask God to use us and we say, okay, I'm going to move over. Well, how do you want me to, I don't know what's over here. This isn't my forte. How do you want to use me? God will start using you. And then you are glorifying God in your talents and abilities. And God will say, you're listening and obeying to the little commands I've given you in life. To be honest, to open my word every day, to pray, to worship me. You're using that. So now I'm going to give you more responsibility. I'm going to give you more in life. I'm going to ask you to do more. But we need to trust God with the increase. And I'm going to explain this. So stewardship isn't merely just about using our talents effectively, but it's also about trusting God with the responsibility that he's giving us in those talents. Our responsibility lies in faithfully managing what is entrusted to us. Trusting God to bring about the increase he desires in his timing for our life. And when we receive something small, how do we handle it? When we receive something that we're just like, really? This is it? How do we respond? Are we glorifying God in it? Or are we like, I thought I was going to get a bigger rock. And right off the bat, he's like, you can't even be trusted with that. How am I going to give you this if you can't be trusted with this small amount that I'm giving you? So if we remember back in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, I'm not going to read the whole story, but we have the master who gives his servants the 5 bags, 2 bags of gold, and the one. And the one who had 5 took it and gained 5 more. The one who had 2 took it and doubled it. The one who had 1, the one who had the smallest amount, took it and hid it. Because he was scared to use that small amount to glorify his master. So how could he be trusted with more if he wasn't willing and able to use the small amount that he was given? And we look at this story, this parable of the bags of gold, is this lesson on the reward and consequences of how we steward our own abilities in our life. If we're faithful servants of what we receive wisely and demonstrate trust to God, this leads to multiplication of resources in our life. Now, it's not resources necessarily that you think you want, like money and treasures. But if you use the little bit that God has given you, if you use your gifting and abilities in the smallest of ways to glorify God, God's going to say, okay, let's expand upon that. How can we use it to glorify more? So this parable teaches us to see our talents as investments to the kingdom of God. Our diligence or lack thereof reflects on our faith in his promises. Are you taking what he's given you and glorifying him in it? Or are you taking what he's given you and glorifying yourself? Are you taking the amount that he's given you and say, I'm gifted in this. I'm going to use it for my own gain. Okay. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be gifted in it, but God can only use you so much if you are unwilling to be in the lane that he is wanting you to go down. So remember, discomfort, where you want to be, saying, I like it over here, the grass is greener, it's warmer, the water's nicer, but God is telling you to go over here, you first must be willing to go to where God is asking you to go in your life so he can use you for his glory through your abilities. And we need to look at these talents and investments and ask ourselves, are you showing that you can be used more through your gift? Are you committed to serving the Lord with what you have? Because that directly reflects ourselves to others on how we trust God in our own life. And we need to also look toward the eternal reward that helps maintain our focus on heavenly treasures rather than earthly ones. Using your gifting and talents to make a ton of money that won't last, to build these relationships with fake people that won't last, or using your talents and gifts and abilities to say, it might not be what the world thinks is amazing and glorious, but I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for His glory, and I want to love and serve God. Those riches are going to be found in eternity with Him. So our faithfulness promises greater trust in the life to come through our obedience and stewardship. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. But this week, let's reflect on our talents and abilities or these opportunities that God has placed in our life. Are you using them to the fullest potential for God? With faith and expectation for God to glorify in it? Or are you using them for your own benefit and satisfaction, not building the kingdom of God around you? You're doing your own thing. Which direction do you go? And remember, even if it's in a setting like that teacher who couldn't preach the gospel to the classroom that she was in, still prayed for every single one of her students before class started, you can use your gifting in a situation that normally wouldn't be somewhere that God is shared, just through your actions. So today, remember that God has entrusted us with specific talents and abilities. And our role as believers is to steward those talents and abilities for His glory. Whether you are educating young minds, healing the sick, volunteering and serving, or simply being a beacon of hope through your presence, believing that you and your contribution in that matters. And the way we engage with our God-given talents, the way we engage in our life, ushers in greater opportunities to open the doors that we never could have opened ourselves without God in it. And let's, this week, just renew this intention in our life to say, God, your will be done through what you have gifted me in. How can I use this gift for you? Faithfully stewarding what He's given us. And I just pray from today forward and continually that we remind ourselves that our life, our gift and abilities is an act of worship to Him beyond Sunday mornings, beyond music. Your life is an act of worship. The way you live is an act of worship to God. So how are you worshiping? And remember this, our mission at Antioch Wesleyan Church is to love God first, love people, reach the world. We love God because by loving God, we learn to love others. And when we learn to love others, we can reach the world around us. And moving into this year, this is our first series. We're talking about stewardship. We have our vision of Grow 55 and 25 to reach our communities, to grow in numbers by 55 people in the year 2025. Because we are going to learn to give intentionally of our time, talents, resources through stewardship. We're going to reach consistently the world around us. We're going to obey faithfully to what God is asking us to do, how God is asking us to use our gifts and talents. We are going to obey that, and we are going to live our lives as an act of worship. But we're going to worship deeply. And that, I truly believe, is how we're going to grow our congregation, grow the kingdom of God through Antioch Wesleyan Church by learning to give intentionally, reach consistently, obey faithfully, and worship deeply. And if you haven't seen it, I just want to shine a light on something for you guys right now. Our church, we are a loving, beautiful neighborhood church, right? In the last 3 weeks, I know there's been a minimum of 5 people that have never been in this church come to church. So when we're sitting here and if you're thinking, Lord, what are you doing? How is this working? I don't get it. See what God is already doing. And let's use our gifts and abilities. Let's use our talents and say, God, use me for your glory. And let's build his kingdom through our church. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now that as we go, as we continue our day, as we live our life, that we would use our talents and abilities for your glory. I pray that we would ask you, Lord, with whatever we're gifted in, how can we use this gift to glorify you? Lord, I pray that you would open up doors and opportunities for everyone in our church, everyone in the congregation, to use their gifting and abilities for you. I pray that you would just open things wide open for them to say, oh, I can do that. I can do that and I can glorify you through it. Let me do that. And Lord, I pray that we would use our lives as an act of worship. That going beyond Sunday mornings, going beyond what the world has told us that worship is, that we would live our lives as an act of worship. That from the moment we wake up and take the first breath, we say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that. When we stand up and walk around our house or wherever we are, when we go to work, when we're on the freeway, even if the situation may be stressful, we say, Lord, how do you want me to glorify you in this moment? How do you want me to glorify you in this situation? How do you want me to glorify you to this person? And Lord, I pray that we would seek to find opportunities in our day to glorify you. And I pray that our lives, from the moment we wake up, would be an act of worship for you each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.